Hello, everyone. I'm George Milan. So, talking about Russo-Iranian relations, what Moscow would like out of this relationship, and why it's not assisting Iran more in Iran's war against Israel and the United States. Well, Russo-Iranian relations, if you look back a few centuries, have been fractious, to say the least. I remember the whole of Azerbaijan was part of the Persian Empire. Then it was a divide between Iran and Russia. Russia got a northern third of it. That's now the Republic of Azerbaijan. So that Georgia was part of the Persian Empire for some centuries. So there was a Russian sphere of influence in the north and so on. They occasionally fought each other. And indeed, not many Russians would know this. The Soviet Union and the British Empire invaded Iran in 1941. And it went remarkably quickly and successfully, blitzkrieg really, only in a month took over the country. Surprised there wasn't so much resistance to such an enormous and mountainous country. But anyway, Stalin was persuaded to withdraw. Had he not withdrawn, history might have been very different. Anyhow, so in the Cold War, Iran was very much a US ally. There was some sort of Russophobia and so on. So they're somewhat regarding the Russians as anti-Muslim, as oppressing their brothers in Azerbaijan. You know, because remember, about 20% of Iranians are ethnically Azerbaijani, all the rest of it. And then when the Islamic Revolution came, yes, those Iranian students, they stormed the US embassy. But some were saying, no, ignore the Americans. The real enemies down the street is the Soviets, which didn't happen. And the Islamic Republic in the 1980s, one of very few countries that had very bad relations with the United States and the Soviet Union. So couldn't purchase weapons from either. We'll buy them from China and Russia. So China and North Korea, Soviet allies. Yugoslavia then existed, Spain, Portugal, various other countries. Okay, so what's the current situation? There's a sort of anti-Western axis. The enemy of my enemy is my friend, and they've got increasingly close in the last few years, signed a partnership. Russian companies were investing in Iranian oil and gas. Anticipation sanctions might be lifted. That didn't happen. Russia's got this complex relationship with Israel. Putin's visited Israel a few times, met Red Army veterans, even described it as a Russian-speaking country, because about 20% of Israeli citizens have got recent Soviet ancestry, so not necessarily Russian, but if they came from Kazakhstan, for example, they're often Russophone and culturally Russian. So that Russia's plays both sides as a street on the Israel-Palestine conflict, depending on what's more advantageous. But now they sort of cozied up to Iran. Obviously, Russia doesn't deeply care about the Iranian government. They may be evil, but they're not stupid. And they realize they can't trust the Russians, because when it came to Iran's nuclear program, Russia was sometimes pressuring Iran and agreeing with the United States, well, we'll give them a hard time if you make concessions on other issues. But if you don't, we'll be more cooperative with the Iranians. We'll build them a nuclear reactor, stuff like that. So major trade deals. There's going to be a railway line from Russia through Azerbaijan onto Iran to facilitate trade. But there just isn't the money for these projects, especially since those Russo-Ukrainian war. So there are Russian investments, but these are kind of like stranded assets now. So the ideal outcome for Russia for this war, was they were licking their lips about this one, was the United States to be mired in a protracted conflict, heavy losses, America to be really humbled, go with its tail back between its legs, wouldn't have any arms to spare for the Ukrainians, wouldn't have any funding to spare for them. It doesn't give them much in terms of arms or funding anyway, and would become more isolationist, wouldn't have the headspace to think about Ukraine, would say to Russia, well, can you help us get out of this mess and mediate with the Iranians, and then we'll cut off the Ukrainians in return, something like that. And the global oil and gas prices go sky high because, the Gulf of Hormuz is totally closed, something like that. Although I don't think it'll be the conflict that long, I don't think it'll be a ground war. In the short term, obviously, the oil and gas prices, that's good news for Russia. The worst possible outcome from Putin's perspective is a quick and decisive and clean Israeli and American victory. Now, they blew up those 150 schoolgirls, so that's not clean to start with. But if they won quickly, if there was regime change and Iran said, right, free and fair elections immediately, total democracy, and we'll give up our nuclear program, it's even civilian nuclear program, like now, sanctions are lifted immediately, there's loads of Iranian oil and gas glutting the market, and the price falls through the floor, and the situation is calm and wonderful. It's a resounding success for the United States. The U.S. Has its prestige sky high. Trump is even more confident. He thinks he could use this shock and awe against Russia if he wants to. That would be a really bad outcome for them. And, you know, this Iranian democratic transition, could that spread to former Soviet countries? And Russia really doesn't want that one. Okay. And then Armenia might, would put through a West, pro-West, and Iran could, you know, access the West even more. So they don't want that one. But anyway, Russia's not been terribly helpful, partly because they just don't have the assets to help them. They say helping Iranians with targeting the Americans, saying, well, they accuse the Americans of helping Ukrainians target Russian forces in Ukraine. Now, the United States has denied this. I don't know if the denial's true or false. What else about those two countries? Goodness. So, yeah, I mean, the Russians, they clearly thought regime change was a considerable possibility. Why in January, the large-scale demonstrations, a lot of people shot dead in the street, the silence out of Moscow was deafening. They thought there may well be a new dispensation, and we have to make an accommodation with that. Just like in Syria, we backed Assad to the hilt. We gambled very heavily, and we lost. And we lost everything, lost our investments. They've managed to retain their bases in Syria. I wonder if they're paying the new Syrian government for it, because obviously they're broke. They desperately need it after, was it 13 years of civil war? President Ahmed al-Sharaa has visited Moscow. And after the Russians for years denouncing the insurgents as the devil incarnate, all of a sudden they're not. So so that's why Putin was pragmatic enough to say, well, if the Ayatollahs are sent packing and there's a new government in Tehran, I'm just going to have to learn to live with it. So, you know, he is very much a fair weather friend. And obviously Iranians know that they'd be thrown to the wolves if Putin senses it's more advantageous to do so. So that's why he's not been terribly helpful to them. I'm surprised the Chinese and others haven't. But, you know, China obviously would want this war to end fast, oil and gas prices to go back down. But, you know, if the US doesn't end it, then the Chinese calculus might change and say, well, the way to end it quickly is by arming the Iranians, making this war very painful for the Americans when they have serious losses, when some of their ships are sunk or something. And then, you know, hundreds of American sailors are dead. And then Trump says, right, we're out of here. Okay, mission accomplished before there are more losses. So, yeah, the Russo-Iranian relationship is not deep. You know, Iran's been a pariah state for a long time. I remember at a Romanian youth hostel of all places years ago, meeting an Iranian Air Force pilot, been training in the United States before the revolution went back. After the revolution was jailed, they suspected he'd been in the USA. Then he was let out because they needed Air Force pilots. Later, he went to North Korea to learn how to fly a certain plane and blah, blah, blah. So it's this fascinating relationship. There's a small business community, Russian business community there. And Trump found some warm words to say for Ali Khamenei, sort of an outstanding personality who did so much to improve relations between two countries. And obviously, there's no talk about human rights, people being hanged from cranes for being gay, women beaten to death not wearing for hijab. Russia will never, ever speak up for common decency on that one. And I know there are obviously plenty of Russians who, like me, just as aghast and revolted by the barbarities of the regime. And I know millions of Iranians feel that way. But that's not to say the Iranian government has no genuine supporters. It does. I mean, I'm not foolish enough to hazard a guess and put a percentage of it. But there are some people who fanatically believe in the regime, others who believe in it less fanatically, people have got mixed feelings. But the outright opponents are maybe not as numerous as you might like to believe. All right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then on PayPal, georgecan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.